yeah, to be all that way and to not be well, it's not good. So let's just, if you know anyone else who's sick as well, let's just stand in the gap for them this morning, okay? Yeah. Okay, we'll pray for you too, Robert. Awesome. Lord, you're a good God, and you know, your influence reaches right around this whole world. And Lord, we just want to lift up Claire and Alex this morning. And Lord, you know those who are not well, Father. Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and in his suffering, you've given us healing. And this morning, we just claim that healing for Alex and Claire. Lord, we just pray that whatever's ailing them right now will be gone in Jesus' name, and that they will have freedom from that, from those symptoms, Lord, from that suffering. Lord God, by your mighty hand, we pray, and in your mighty name, amen. Amen. You know, the name of Jesus is not just a name, is it? It's a person. It's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And it's such a privilege to be able to pray in his name. Such a privilege to be able to gather in his name as well. And that's what we're doing this morning. So, down to the word. If you have your Bible, I'd like to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. It's a popular gospel, and that's something that we've been journeying through as a church. And one thing about Matthew's gospel is that his focus, if you like, is it's on the kingdom of God. He often talks about, you know, the coming of the kingdom, and that the kingdom of God being established on earth through the coming of the one true King, Jesus Christ, into this world. Now, Jesus is the all-conquering hero who came to turn the tables on evil and expose the lies of this world, ultimately setting people free through his sacrifice on the cross. Now, as we've been going through Matthew, we've just been through the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has laid the foundation of where his kingdom is really established, and that's in the hearts of his people. So he's laid that foundation that it's being a citizen of heaven is having a heart that is transformed, which leads to a life that is transformed, which leads to a world that is transformed. It's contagious. The kingdom of God is meant to be contagious. Not only viruses were created to be passed on. You know, not YouTube clips that go viral. There are many other things in life that can go viral. You know, smiles are very contagious. Yeah, see, it worked. Attitudes can be contagious, can't they? You ever work with someone with a really negative attitude? You know, can sort of rub off, so you get home. Yawns are very contagious. Yeah. Fear is contagious. But also hope is contagious. Courage can be contagious. You know, well, sometimes all it takes is one person to make a stand, and then a generation of oppressed people will find the courage to join them. But strangely enough, some people are immune to the positive. Like in Iran, if you've been watching the news, there were a group of dancers got together and they made a little video of dancing to that happy song. You know, if you're happy, you know, if you're like, well, they were done, okay. Clap along, yeah, okay. And they were just having fun, you know, being happy. But in Iran, that's not okay. And they got arrested for making a happy song video. And it is such a contagious song, you know, really does get in your head and your heart. And they got arrested and they got shut down for just being happy. So there's some people in the world, you know, some influencers in this world that just aren't keen on the positive stuff happening. And, you know, being the time of year it is, there's been a bit of a bug going around. So I've got a little bit of sniff and a bit of a Steve Kelly anointing on me with my voice. So bear with me. Because, you know, I have been sick. And it's not cool being sick. Being sick's no fun. Anyone else? Yeah. There's a lot of things going around here. Of all the diseases you can get, contagious diseases are the worst. Because they isolate you from people, don't they? You know, you just like, You know, I had a couple of days walking around. I thought, you know, I thought I should have a little bell. You know, unclean, unclean. don't come near me. No, I'm feeling well. But it could be worse than just the flu. There's some pretty bad diseases out there. And if you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to hear a little story about Jesus encountering someone contagious. So in verse 1, we read that, you know, when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. So he's coming down from, you know, giving the sermon on the mount. So he's coming down the mountain. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And I just want to stop there. And just first let us realize something. You know, where are they when this happens? They're coming down the mountain, okay? They're out there in the wide open spaces, outside the city walls, outside the temple, the synagogue, the marketplace. They're way outside. They're in the middle of nowhere. They are in the barren place. Or in the case of a leper, they're in the place where they have to live. Outside, everywhere. You know, God is still God in the loneliest of places. Doesn't matter where you are right now, God cares for you. Even if you're feeling isolated, lonely, or vulnerable, God is there. Because the great scandal of Jesus is that he really did come for the entire world. The kingdom of God is available to all who would believe. Even a leper who had nothing was worth taking the time for. Now in the King James Version, it says, "And behold," because it's the King James, it says, "behold, a leper came and worshipped him." Doesn't have the same, you know, kneeling down doesn't quite capture what this leper was doing. That he came and he worshipped Jesus. See, Jesus naturally attracts people, but he also makes himself available to those who can't get into a place to be worshipped. He wasn't locked up in the temple. And we see that Jesus is quite okay being worshipped outside four walls. Doesn't have to be on a Sunday for us to worship God. And we carry on in verse 3. We read that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Amazing, eh? Jesus touched the man. And you always imagine what it would have been like to be in that man. You know, people were forbidden to touch him. He had to walk around saying, "I'm unclean, don't come anywhere near me." And for someone to touch him, what that would have felt like. Because it's one of the greatest needs that humanity have, is to be touched. And here was a man denied human touch. Could you imagine the surprise in his eyes as he's kneeling there and he sees Jesus reaching out to touch him? The natural instinct, you know, would have been not to do that. Because not a lot was known about leprosy back then. It was just a disease that people knew was contagious. No one knew why it was contagious. All they knew was that when you're near someone with that disease, you may get it. And it was something that no one wanted to get. And there are times in the Old Testament where leprosy was the direct result of sin. And in other cases, it wasn't the direct result of sin. But to the Jewish people, there's this automatic connection, you know, that if you've got leprosy, well, you know, you're definitely a sinner. No doubt about it. You are a sinner because you've got leprosy. I guess a Western modern-day equivalent, sometimes the way that the church has responded to it, would be AIDS, you know. It's their own fault. They're sinners, that's why they got that disease. And so there was a sense of, you know, well, he's a sinner. He's got this disease, don't go near him, stay away, he's unclean. It made me think about, what are the barriers today that prevent people from entering the kingdom of God? What isolates us? Is it fear? A bad experience in the past? Unforgiveness? A sense of unworthiness? What is it that keeps us from drawing closer to God or even closer to each other? Is it a faith issue? You know, are there perceived barriers that need to be pulled down? I think sometimes it may just be the case that many haven't learnt yet to see God as a relevant God to their situation. The great thing about Jesus is he made manifest the kingdom of God wherever he went. And he makes it a reality here and now. He reveals the will of God that he wants people to be set free, that we should be in community. I am willing, be clean, he declares. And we can learn a lot from this leper, from this outcast. You know, he humbled himself before God. He worshipped Jesus despite his condition. And to the best of my knowledge, there wasn't a worship team there. You know, like a mariachi band, just sort of hanging around as they're coming down the mountain. Yeah, I exalt thee. And he thought, oh man, I'm going to join in. And just goes, kneels down before Jesus. No, he just saw Jesus coming and he was like, Lord, and worshipped him. The guy was desperate, you know, but he was full of hope and faith that Jesus had the power to heal. You know, if you're willing, I know you can. You know, the question, see, he recognized the power that Christ had, but he didn't know the character of Christ at that time. There's still a question mark. Are you willing, God? Would you heal even me? I'm so unworthy. I'm so unclean. I'm a leper. I'm a sinner. Lord, would you heal me? And Jesus is like, of course I would. It's so easy to say, I trust you, Jesus. And yet when the test comes, so often for us it can be the temptation to pull back and trust something other than Jesus. You know, the leper was cleansed, and in his cleansing, there was healing. And then Jesus tells him to go and fulfill the law of Moses. Go show yourself to the priest. Bring the sacrifice. Have it all made official as a testimony to them. Because unless it was made official, he was still going to be an outcast. He still wouldn't be able to go inside the city, wouldn't be able to go to the temple, wouldn't be able to worship God. He'd still be denied community unless it was made official. You know, our testimony is so powerful because it's the reality of what God has done in our life. And no one, not even the devil, can take that away from you. What God has done in your life is so valuable and so precious. Never forget those times when he's moved in your life and done something miraculous. Never let that go. Because it's like, you know, hello, God's kingdom is in effect in this world. You know, and you look at what Moses commanded them to do in Leviticus 14, 1 to 4. There's a whole chapter devoted to what you do if you have leprosy and you find yourself. Now, in verse 1 it says, the Lord said to Moses, these are the regulations for any diseased person at the time of their ceremonial cleansing when they are brought to the priest. Now, the priest is to go outside the camp and examine them. If they've been healed of their defiling skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Now basically, with that, one bird died, or was killed, and the other bird was covered in the blood of that bird that died and set free. And it's incredible when you look at the significance of that act long before Christ came, that simply by being covered in the blood, there was a cleansing and a freedom came, represented by the bird going free. But first, we need to allow God to examine us. Having been examined, you know, the priest would then offer that sacrifice and make atonement for them, and they would be clean. But we need to let God examine us, because Christ came to set us free. Because the law set them apart. It did create an us and a them. But there was a purpose in that. But when Jesus came, he destroyed the wall. You know, he reconciles, he welcomes back, he embraces, he heals and who restores. That is what Christ came for. He is the priest who's gone outside the safety of the camp to examine us, to declare us clean. He is the priest who made the sacrifice on our behalf. He is the bird who died so that we could go free, so that we could be welcomed home. There's no longer a barrier for those who would choose to believe, who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's the message of Ephesians 2. Well, actually, the whole Bible, that's the whole message of the Bible. But Paul makes it very explicit in Ephesians. He says, no longer are you foreigners or strangers, yet you are one people, citizens of heaven. God's heart aches to be near his children. And yet we can still feel so inadequate, like the leper. Oh, we are so unworthy. You know, will you? There's always this temptation in us to live as though the wall still exists. But it's by grace we've been saved, and we need to continue living in that grace, not trusting anything other than God. See, what we have, though, when we're living in that grace, is something contagious in a good way. Well, it should be. Because when people see what we have by living in the grace of God, there should be this, like, wow, what have you got? Where do I get that? You know, the light that is in you is the light of Christ. And what really makes our light shine is going against the grain of what people imagine to be a normal response. You know, being brave in the face of fear, overcoming the odds, standing up for what is right and encouraging others to do the same. Not putting the boot in when someone's down, but showing people grace. That goes against the normal, you know? Forgiveness. Holding our ground when others are going to run a mile. You know, it might seem stupid to them, but it can really empower others to do the same. You know, Jesus reached out to the lepers. That's not normal. He reached out to you and me, and today he makes his appeal to the world through his church, through you and me. And we see this at work when Jesus sends out the 12, and then he does it again with the 72. In Matthew 10, verse 5 to 8, we read that these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. But as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, because freely you have received, so freely give. You know what Jesus has given us through his Holy Spirit is meant to be shared. I like how Bill Johnson puts it. He says, you know, the Spirit of God is in us for our benefit, but he's on us for the benefit of others. So we need to share the gifts that God has given us. We are ambassadors. Understanding our authority as ambassadors of the kingdom is a real key to seeing the miraculous happen. You know, naturally this all comes from Jesus being Lord of our life. You know, we sang Jesus at the center of my life. When we put him in the center of our life, great things happen. But I've noticed that when dealing with the principalities and powers of this world, they always have a way of usurping authority from us, undermining what God wants to do. Much like a two-year-old is able to manipulate us. You know, I'm not the best parent in the world. I'll put my hand up and say that and acknowledge that. It's all out there now. You know, Amanda's been away for the week. It's just been staying at home, Dad. And, well, been out and about a little bit. But when you've got a three-year-old, yeah, I limit the out and about. But over the week, I found myself being dictated to by my three-and-a-half-year-old, as weird as that sounds. And then, you know, it gets to this point, and then suddenly she's in control and finds herself with bargaining power that she didn't have before. And then I'm like, hang on a second, who's the boss here? And you find yourself in a bargaining match. Well, if you do this, I'll do this, you know, and you find yourself, and then you've got to pull yourself up and just think, actually, no, I'm the parent, you're the child, and you will do what we ask you to do. It's amazing how quickly compromise can set in, you know, because it seems easier to give in. Just, yeah, okay, or, you know, you can do that, and I'll do this. But it seems so easy at first, but trust me, it leads to a hard road. It's real hard to come back from that. You can, but you really got to stand your ground. It's the same with the world, though. We get undermined. You find yourself bargaining and then compromising on little things. The next thing you know, that the authority that Christ has given us, we're no longer standing in it, because we're not looking to Him. It's His authority working through us. And yeah, because Christ said it, we're going to stand in it. And Jesus sent us out into the world, having first called us out of the world to Himself. He sent us out in His authority to reach out and make the kingdom a reality. So the question is, how do we live as contagious Christians without getting infected by the world around us? Because that's the real challenge, isn't it? You know, various Christian groups have met this challenge over the years with differing success. You know, should we dress differently? Get a habit on. You know, that's one way to really separate yourself out. You know, should we speak differently? What should we do? You know, just walk around picking in tongues all the time? No. I like how Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 6. He says, brothers and sisters, you know, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. You know, Ernest spoke so well on this last week. Judge ourselves, not others. Treat people with respect. Always look at ourselves and pray that God will reveal that which is, you know, in us, or that's tempting us, or has the possibility to make us sick. But also we need to be there for each other, to offload, to share, you know, those things that are becoming an issue for us. Because when we're able to share with someone we trust, you know, those issues can, you know, be dealt with in a healthy way. They don't have time to build up and become something. Because we are in the world, and we can't afford to be isolated. I know there's been times when I felt like, you know, just withdrawing into a cave. Monk life can seem appealing sometimes. You're under a lot of pressure. Anyone else felt like that? I'd, you know, it'd be so cool just to go sit in a cave and read the Bible all day. It'd be nice. Simple life. You know, the world does things very differently to God. And it is ingrained in us because of the way we live. And this really becomes evident when you get into a mob. If you ever notice, you know, mobs of people are very fickle. We see this throughout the Bible and even in society today. You know, mobs act at a very base level. Takes so much courage to hold fast to your convictions in the midst of a mob. See, in the eyes of a mob, you can be, you know, one minute you can be the flavor of the month, everyone loves you. You see this with fame, don't you? And next minute, they're ready to kill you. Talk about manipulation. You know, it just happens. Jesus knew this, even in his hometown. A great story in Luke chapter 4. Where Jesus is faced with this situation, because he's been working miracles throughout the land. Comes to his hometown. He reads from Isaiah 61, his mission statement. And then we read verse 22, that all spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. But then they said, isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. And Jesus said to them, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself, and you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we've heard you do in Capernaum. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to the widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And then they try to push Jesus off the cliff. Isn't it funny, like within the word, and you know, one conversation, they spoke well of him and were amazed at him. The next minute they tried to kill him. So quickly they turned. Why? Simply because Jesus pointed out that God chose to heal a couple of Gentiles who believed rather than a whole his nation of people who didn't believe. It's not a normal response they were expecting. You know, lack of faith stops the hand of God just as surely as faith opens the door for him to work in our lives. You know, God doesn't put on a show for us. You know, he's not here to entertain or to, you know, just like, wow, other people into the kingdom. What he does demonstrate is his love and his compassion for people. That is the one thing that moves God. And when we experience God moving in our life, that is the one thing that builds our faith more than anything else. But even the greatest of miracles is not enough to convince some people. Because there's always opposition to change in our lives. And like Jesus experienced, you can work wonders, see God move and change your life so much. But often it's the people closest to us who have the greatest struggle understanding the change that's happening when God's moving in our life. It's kind of like how Jesus puts it in Matthew 7, verse 6. He says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Not everyone's going to get it. Not everyone understands. Pigs don't recognize the value of a pearl. They're just hungry. They just want food. And you throw them a pearl, it's worth heaps. But it's not food. It's not what they really need. Even though it's valuable, they don't see it. They don't have the eyes to see it. Like a dog has no idea what's sacred. Can anyone blame them for that? They just don't know any different. So rather than teaching people our theology, I think it's a good idea that we just show them instead. I believe in a God who cares, a God who loves. And that is why the gospel is good news. And just as I close, I just invite the worship team just to come up. When that leper came and worshipped Jesus, Jesus spoke words of life to him. "I am willing. Be clean." And it was so. Simply because the leper believed in Jesus. But his first response was just to worship him. He put Jesus at the center, laid himself down at his mercy. Yet Jesus is about bringing his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's putting things in its correct order. God in his rightful place. And when we put Jesus at the center of our lives, just watch how everything comes into alignment, you know, with our finances, with our relationships, with our mental well-being, our sense of worth and purpose. Put your faith in Jesus. It's not a question of can he, because he can. And if the question is will he, the answer is I will. He will. You know, at Life Conference the other week, someone said something, can't remember who, but it was pretty profound and kind of our view of church as well. He said, "The world is peripheral to the church, not the church peripheral to the world." And there's two opposing worldviews. You know, the world would like to see the church as irrelevant, sort of just, you know, you do your holy thing over there. Let us get on with living life in the world. Whereas, you know, Christ created the church to be the center. to be the center of life. But how do we live out our lives, you know? Do we live it out with Jesus at the center, you know, so we're able to spread love and hope like a virus wherever we go? So full of the Holy Spirit that, you know, just that when we walk into the room, He's walking in the room with us and everything changes. And people want what we have. That's what we aim to do as a church. We want to make Christ the cornerstone of the community. And we do that by making Christ the cornerstone of our lives. Because there's no one greater than Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God. The one who has the power to heal, the power to transform our hearts, the power to break the hold that sin has over our lives. Does anyone here want to be isolated? We all have a desire to be accepted. And the powers of this world actually tap into that desire. You know, if you have the latest this or the latest that, you'll fit in. If you're doing this, then yeah, we'll accept you. If you're not, out of here. It's not your good news. God's kingdom is for you. You're accepted for who you are. You have a place, you have a purpose here. Because Jesus has opened the way for us. You know, the leper had nothing to lose when he went to Jesus. And if you came this morning and that's you, you're just desperate, you've got nothing to lose, you're in good company. Or maybe you came here today and you feel less than contagious. You know, no one wants what you've got. And the good news is, Christ gave us the Holy Spirit. He'd like us to stand. I just want to pray. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Just allow the Holy Spirit just to really speak into your heart this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence, God. Thank you that your anointing just rests upon this congregation right now. That everyone that is here, everyone who hears my voice, Lord, Lord, you touch our hearts. Let us know your love and your compassion. Now, if you came here with nothing to lose, I'd just like you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. And if you came here today feeling less than contagious and you want to receive afresh the gift of God that is His Holy Spirit, then just lift your hands to heaven. Lord, you know our hearts, God. You know where we're at. You know what we need. Father, I pray you pour out upon us from your abundance that is in heaven, that you make your kingdom manifest here in our lives, right here, right now. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us, we pray. Breathe new life into tired bones, like that word that Florence brought this morning, that we who are weary, we come to you, Jesus, to no one else but to you, Jesus, because we know your burden is light. Lord, we know that your yoke is easy. Lord, restore us, refresh us. Lord, we came to you this morning, Lord, in hope and expectation. And I know, God, you are willing and you are able. And we just want to claim it in the authority of Jesus Christ this morning. The fullness of your gospel and the grace of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Okay, we're just going to finish.